The scripture reading tonight is from the 42nd chapter of Job. After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take seven bulls and seven rams and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept his prayer, not to deal with you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite, went and did what the Lord had told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and ate bread with him in his house. And they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Happuch. And in all the land there were no women so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. The word of the Lord.
Okay, let's just get it out there. Yes, it is true that Cindy and Kitty initially responded to the poster in the rec center because they thought it was some kind of girl-focused employment program. The poster said, "This might be what you're looking for, Job's daughters." Sure, it didn't really make any sense, but they were looking for jobs, and all those words were in there. So they came back to the rec center that Thursday night for the informational meeting. They found empty folding chairs in the back row just as it was starting. It was not very long before they realized that it didn't have anything to do with getting a job. First, it was the way the speaker kept pronouncing the word job. "What did she just say?" Cindy asked Kitty. "Did she say Job?" "Yeah." "Job's daughter?" "Yeah." "Who's Job?" "Never heard of him or his daughters." The lights dimmed and a line of girls wearing white robes slowly processed to the stage and stood behind the speaker. "What is with the robes?" Cindy whispered. "I believe it's pronounced Robs," Kitty whispered back, and they both tried to stifle their giggles. "We are probably not going to get jobs, are we?" Cindy whispered. "I don't think so. Should we leave? And do what? There are girls wearing white robes in the dark in the rec center. Let's see where this goes." They stayed, and they heard that Job's Daughters was indeed not a girl-focused employment program, but a youth organization open to girls from 10 to 20, dedicated to service and developing leadership, very much like the Girl Scouts. Cindy and Kitty learned that Job's Daughters was sponsored by the Masons and took its name from the book of Job in the Bible. Clearly not one of the popular ones, because I have never heard of it, Cindy had said. In the last chapter of the book, God blesses this guy, Job, and gives him some sons and three daughters. And in all the land, there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers. And then he died. So basically, Cindy and Kitty were part of this ancient group of girls that passed down the knowledge of being beautiful and rich and powerful and smart. The original daughters had been given to Job as a blessing from God. And Job had blessed his daughters by giving them everything they needed to be strong and successful. And by the end of the talk, Cindy and Kitty were kind of into it. Sure, the robes were kind of weird, Kitty said, but the quasi-military uniforms of Girl Scouts, religious capitalist children's army weren't exactly normal. So true, agreed Cindy. Cindy usually agreed with Kitty, not because she would just go along with her, just to go along with her, but because Kitty had a way of usually understanding things, like books and ideas, and if somebody was trying to get over, and if her mom was telling the truth. Kitty read early and read everything she could get her hands on. And when she ran out of books at her house when she was in kindergarten, she started knocking on neighbors' doors. And when they answered, she would ask, matter of fact, "Can I read your books?" And the amused neighbor would ask, "Which one, honey?" "All of them," she would reply. At the time of this first Job's daughters meeting, Kitty was into a serious Kurt Vonnegut phase. She had just reread all of his books for the second time, including the new one, Jailbird. She loved to comment on things by quoting the Slaughterhouse-Five observation, "So it goes." She said it so much and about so many things, seemingly random things, that finally Cindy asked her, a little irritated and perplexed, "So it goes? So it goes? What the hell is so it goes?" "It's sort of like the ultimate existential blessing," Kitty said. "The what?" Cindy said. "You know Kurt Vonnegut?" Kitty said, leaning in, eyes beginning to catch fire. "Duh. He's like your boyfriend. You talk about him so much," Cindy replied, smiling and leaning in, also wanting to catch some of that fire. "Well, he was in World War II, and like he saw so many like horrible things and what humans could do to each other and what they would do because they thought they knew some truth or what was right or how they could run things or change things, like the arc of history." "The arc of history?" Cindy asked in disbelief. "The arc of history," Kitty confirmed. "And Kurt," I like to call him Kurt, I don't think Kurt would mind, "and Kurt concluded that there can't really be any truth or right or God or ultimate good or even a just arc of history, and that we humans, us, we can know nothing but this." "What's this?" "This is right now. We only exist right now, and we cannot control the next moment or the future or the happenings of the universe. The best we can do is acknowledge it." "So it goes," said Cindy. "So it goes," said Kitty. "Isn't that kind of hopeless?" "No, it's the opposite. It's the most hopeful way to live." "How is that hopeful?" "Like most of the super bad, horrible war and things people do to each other are about someone trying to control the future, to run the world, to get power so they can make the universe do what they want it to do. But it's all an illusion. The universe is just doing what it does." "What does it do?" Cindy wondered out loud, only almost a question. "I don't know. I can only observe and bless it." "So it goes. It's like a confession that I am not in control and a blessing to all of us creatures as the universe carries us along together." "I mean, is the universe good? Like nice in the end?" "I don't know. But let me ask you this. Who do you think is more likely to end up doing something ultimately nice or good or loving if they were in charge? People like presidents or preachers or generals or bankers or you or me, or the universe which we cannot and do not understand. Well, I go with the universe, Cindy said. We all do, Kitty said. So it goes. About 6 months into their regular Job's Daughters attendance, Cindy was at church with her mom and dad and was even more bored than usual. She'd already cleaned out her purse and put everything back in, and it seemed like the preacher was not going to be winding things up very soon. So she picked up the Bible from the back of the pew in front of her and started looking through it. Then she thought, oh, hey, I should look up the book of Job. And she went to the index and found Job and turned to it and started reading chapter 1. And she could not believe it. She closed the Bible and put it in her purse. And when she got home from church, she rushed over to tell Kitty everything she learned. She pounded on the back door. Kitty pulled it over. What? Jeez. Cindy grabbed her wrist and pulled her along to her bedroom and closed the door. They both sat on the bed. Cindy pulled out the Bible. Well, that is not what I was expecting, Kitty deadpanned. No, listen. You know how we learn that in the last chapter of the book of Job, God blesses Job and gives him some sons and these three daughters and Job's daughters. And it says that in all the land there were no women so beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father gave them an inheritance along with their brothers, and then he died. And we as Job's daughters are inheritors of this blessing by God, and we are part of this ancient group of girls that pass down the knowledge of being beautiful and rich and powerful and smart. The original daughters had been given to Job as a blessing from God. And Job had blessed his daughters by giving them everything they needed to be strong and successful. Yeah, what? If you read chapter 1, you get the whole story. Those Job's daughters are Job's daughters. They are not even Job's original daughters. What do you mean? What happened to his original daughters? God let Satan kill them. What are you talking about? So, no, really, in the beginning, like, Job was this righteous guy, and the devil comes and says, you know, check this guy out. He just likes you because he's rich. And God said, no, he would like me no matter what. He's a righteous guy. And the devil says, well, let me take away all his camels and his sheep and everything, and then he'll turn against you. And so God said, go ahead, take him away. And then the devil killed them all. And then Job just said, I thank God for all that I have been given. And he doesn't turn against God. And so the devil says, well, you know, that's just animals, but what if we were to take away your children? And so God says, go ahead. And so the devil makes this house collapse on all his sons and all his daughters. And then Job just says, well, I'm grateful for all that I have been given. So that's what happens. So what we thought was this great blessing from God, like in the end, he gets it all back. Because Job never turns, Job never gives up, Job never is faithless or curses God. So God pays him back triple fold, all these sheep and all these things, and gives him new daughters. And so what we thought was this great blessing from God, these daughters that were precious to their father Job, the most righteous person on earth, were replacement daughters, like replacement camels or sheep. They meant nothing to Job or God. And we did all this work. We admired them. We worked to be like them, strong leaders, and to volunteer and to help people, people who are suffering. And all that time, the suffering, the caring, the hard work, it means nothing. All creation are just the poker chips that God plays with. Cindy was out of breath. Her eyes were red. She looked to Kitty to say something. "And?" Kitty said. "And?" Cindy prompted. And so it goes.